turned two of his brothers into some of the finest preachers, teachers that their world has ever known. And so James here, I like the way that he starts his epistle out. And he doesn't say James, the brother of Jesus. He says James, the servant of God. He is like we talked about Peter. That's how Peter started his epistle. Peter, the servant of God. Paul wrote, Paul, the servant of God. The question I have for all of us right now, could you put your name in that spot? Your name, the servant of God. A bondservant of Jesus Christ, what does that look like? You know, now, he was raised up around Jesus his whole life. He knew him inside and out. He knew his, I would say his good side and his bad side, but I don't know if Jesus had a bad side. And, well, imagine the emotions that must have came up in James and his brothers when his mom would say, I wish you'd act more like Jesus. What would Jesus do, right? And so, anyhow, that's probably where that little rubber band started way back then. And so all those things, as he was seeing Jesus grow up and saw Jesus going into his ministry and saw the way that Jesus moved and loved and worked around people and the way that he didn't condemn anybody, even all that, they still didn't know him as a Savior or didn't understand who he was until that day, that day on the cross. And the mixed emotions that must have came upon them, you know, because that was their brother. I mean, they ate, or half-brother, they ate the same food, they had the same mom. You know, they learned the same songs together as they were growing up. And now he's a grown man, and he's recognized that Jesus is indeed the Lord of all. Mm-hmm. And then he says, you're no longer my brother, no longer I don't even want to be recognized as your brother, I want to be your servant.
Amen.
Because I understand what you did, who you are. When we come to a good grip of who Jesus is, no longer I don't like to consider him my brother, although the Bible says that he is. I would rather be known as his bondservant, a willing participant as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And James came to that part. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abrideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let me ask in faith, not wavering, let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Yeah. Now look at those first 8 verses there as James is talking to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. Now, I'm not part of the 12 tribes. I am a Gentile from the get to the go. Amen. I'm not Hebrew at all. But I am grafted into the promises of God through the power of Jesus Christ. I am in that. And yet, if you're born again, that's who you are too. So this epistle is for you. And he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Those different types of temptations that you come into. He says you fall into them. Do you know it's not a sin to be tempted? That the trials of this life, the hard times of this life, aren't meant to hurt you. It's just meant to, how's that song, to burn away the dross.
That's right.
God, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you are His child, and He allows you to go through some hard times.
Amen.
And anybody got some hard times that you lived through? Amen?
Yeah.
They are not comfortable at the moment, right? But as you trust God, you walk through that, it builds your faith.
Amen.
You get to, how do I know for absolutely sure today that God is faithful right now? Because 10 years ago, He was faithful to me.
That's
5
right.
years ago, He was
That's
faithful
right.
to me. Today, when we prayed over the workers that nobody would get hurt in the top of that tree, knocked down the power line, nobody got hurt. God is faithful. Not only did they not get hurt, they didn't get hit financially in the whole thing. Glory to God for that. That is a blessing. That is God taking care of His children. Because that thing could have fell and killed every single one of those guys. That line could have broke and electrocuted all of them. Mm-hmm. But God. Right?
I love but you God. Say,
amen.
But God.
But God. You know, but by the grace of God.
Yes.
And James here, and even the young man that cut the tree down, he was shook. You know, he cut it and he saw it fall, and when he started, it was going the right direction. The wind picked it up and blew it back in the wrong direction, and he was scared to his core. He was scared that people were going to be mad at him. He was scared that it was going to be something horrible was going to happen. But God comforted him. You know, I mean, none of the words that I said, you know, don't worry about it. It's just a tree. It's just a line. It's not that big of a deal. That's before the power company came out and said, don't worry about it. The pole was rotten. Praise God that the pole was rotten. Because if the pole had not been rotten, that line would have snapped.
That's right.
All of that electricity would have been spilled out all over that wet ground out there. And I don't know how far it travels, but it's far enough that it could have been really bad.
That's God's goodness.
That's in it.
He's so good.
That is God. He is so good. He protects us even when we don't know it.
Yes.
Now, that's a diverse trial. So in that, count it all joy.
Amen.
Look at the joy past it. Even, you know, God is so good. When I go back and I look at the trials of life that God has brought me through,
right.
At the time, like I said, at the time, it may not seem joyful.
Right.
Because you don't understand it. When it's going on, it hurts. And there's just... It's just an awesome thing in you. But as you just trust in Christ and you relax in Him and say, God, it's not my will that's being done, it's
Amen.
Your will being
that's
done.
It.
And He gathers you up and He wraps you underneath His wing. And He brings you through that fiery trial. He brings you through the desert places. He brings you through the troubles and the temptations of this life. And He protects you. He keeps you.
Yes.
And at the other end of it, He calls you child. Amen.
A purpose for us.
Yeah. Absolutely. God, and remember, God knows how to make us what we need to be.
That's right.
You know? Nobody likes to punish their kids if they do something's wrong. You don't like to do it. You got to do it. If you want your children to grow up and be responsible people, you've got to teach them responsibility. Because if you don't, they will not be responsible at all, and they'll be a drag on society. That's why it tells us to train up our children. All right, and the rest of that, train up your child in the way you go. It also tells you in the book of Proverbs, the blows that strike the flesh cleanse away evil.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And now, my mama had no problem with that scripture. And it worked. You know, I remember a time when I was a little bitty squirt, went up and I stole some candy from the grocery store, from the convenience, it was a Zippy Mart. I don't know if y'all know what those are.
Mm-hmm.
A Zippy Mart. So you zip to Zippy Mart, zip into Zippy Mart, and zip right out. Well, I did that, and I got a pocket full of candy. And I came home, and I was eating candy. My mama said, well, where'd you get that candy? Well, I kind of hemmed and hawed. She said, you stole it, didn't you? I said, yeah, mama, I stole it. She took, grabbed my ear, she gave it a quarter twist, zipped me up on my tiptoes, took a switch, and beat me to the store. Not that she was walking faster than I was, but she every time my foot hit the ground, that switch hit my back. But when I got up to the store, she made me apologize to that woman that I stole from, made me give the money back, and made me work in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this boy's going to come up here every day, and he's going to pick up whatever's in this parking lot, and he's not allowed to come into the store. You know what? That was the very last time I stole anything in my life. You know, anything. I've never stolen another stinking thing the rest of my life. Well, they had a lot of folks say, well, that's a harsh teaching. That's harsh. It's an effective teaching.
Right.
All right? Sometimes you need to go through some trials, some temptations, some things, because at the end of that brings great joy. At the end of that works patience. At the end of that works the magnificence of God.
Amen.
That's why we're supposed to count it all joy. When God allows things to come into your life, instead of, who here always, I mean, I hear it so often, it may not be in this crowd, but so many folks, they get into a thing that's happening in their life, they say, oh God, deliver me out of this trial. You know, maybe that's not what God wants to do.
Right.
Delivering you out won't teach you what you need to know. Instead of saying, God, deliver me out, give me strength to walk through it. Oh, there's an old song Don't take it away. All right, don't take this away. Don't take these trials. Don't take this tribulation away. Just give me the strength to walk through. Amen. I don't need it taken out of my life. I need to be made strong to walk through this. That when I come to the other side, when I get to the glory side of this, I will know that God has brought me through.
Amen.
Amen. And that is, as James is talking here, now he's talking to a group of people who are of the Hebrew faith that have trusted Jesus Christ that are being horribly tormented. Mm-hmm. Nero was the king at the time. Mm-hmm. Those folks who had trusted Jesus Christ, even in their synagogues, like if you were a Hebrew and you said, I trusted Jesus Christ, I've been baptized, and I am a disciple of Jesus, the Most High God. They take away your job. Yeah. They throw you out of your synagogue. Your family won't talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
That's a horrible temptation. That's a horrible trial. Yeah. Everything you've ever known is taken away from you because you trust in truth. Oh, but there's a day when all those hurts, all those pains are taken away. Yes. There's a day when you stand before God and He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. Because you went through it.
Yes.
You didn't quit. You didn't stop. All of those folks, all they would have ever had to do was say, I deny Him. I deny Him. And they would have been restored 10 times what they had in the world. And they would have been welcomed back into their family. They would have been welcomed back into their job. But when they stood before Jesus Christ, He said, if you deny me here on this earth, I'll deny you before the angels that are in heaven. Mm-hmm. I would rather be recognized there and denied here. Amen. And recognized here and denied there. Because my time on the other side is a lot longer than this time.
That's right.
And there's no temptation, there's no trouble that is worthy to be considered with the glory that's to come. Amen. And so as James is talking this to the church, encouraging them, no matter what the diverse, the many different types of temptations and trials that come into you, know this one thing, that the trying, the testing of your faith works patience.
Yes.
The testing of it. How do you know? How do you know? You'll never know how far you can go until you've gone as far as you can.
Yes, right.
Amen. They say, yes. Oh, I know I can climb that hill, but I'm not going to try. I know I can do it, though. Well, no, you don't know you can do it until you get out there and try it. Mm-hmm. You try it and you give it your best shot and you go as far as you can. And when you get tired, you sit down and you get back up and you go again when you catch your breath. Did you have your hand up, huh?
That's when someone tells you that you could say, like, prove it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Don't tell me you can do it without proving it.
Yeah.
You can test that thing. And so test your faith. So God, when God brings you into those trials, those hard times, He'll ask you this. Do you believe me in this? Do you trust me enough with your finances? All right, well, I don't have enough money to buy bread for the week. Do you trust me in that? The widow who was going to, she was making her last little bit of bread for her and her son, and then she was going to die.
Yeah.
Elijah, wasn't it? Elijah the prophet.
Yes.
He says, well, honey, before you do that, make me a cake. It's like he didn't hear her problem, right? All right, sure, you're going to make this, but before you make you and your son your last loaf of bread, before you do that, and I know, make me a cake. Mm-hmm. And so she said, by faith, all right, I'll do that, prophet, I'll do that. Oh, when she did, he said, go and get your vats, because your bread will not run out. And that little bit of stuff, that little bit of flour never ran out. The oil never ran out.
No, amen.
Never ran out. 3 years. 3 years, just think. She never had to go to the mill again for 3 years. And every time she went to that little bitty jar, probably no bigger than this, a little jar, she'd open it up and it's full of meal. Praise God. Well, I'm going to make it all today. Makes that loaf of bread, puts it back up, and goes there tomorrow morning, pulls it out. Praise God. It's there again.
Yes.
And you look at that and see, that's the testing of your faith. Do you really believe? Do you believe enough in God to give what He asks of you fully to Him that He can supply all of your need?
That's right.
That's the test.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trying of it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And as you look back.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Like I said to Laurel, we go through this thing of not enough hay. We're going to run out of hay. I said, remember, every year we go through this, and every year God has supplies.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm trying to think, wasn't it Mueller, right? He had prayed for...
Yes,
he had prayed for food. Now, he owned a big orphanage, and there were a lot of folks in England at the time didn't have anything. And he'd have all those kids sit down at an empty table.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be sitting there, and they'd be waiting with their knife and their fork in their hand, and he'd pray. He'd say, let's give thanks to what God has given us.
Mm-hmm.
He'd give thanks, and all of a sudden, somebody would knock on the door, and they'd have loaves of bread, or there's a milk cart, a milk truck that broke down outside, and so they had bread and milk, and before they prayed, they didn't have nothing.
Amen.
See, faith does some stuff. You know, faith is what will get you through. When you go into these trials, it's the testing of your faith. God said, hey, Mueller, I want you to make orphan houses. He says, I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I don't have any money. You know what? God supplied the need.
Amen.
God, he said that there's a need. These kids need to know about me. These kids are going to need a place to sleep.
Yes.
And God said, I will make it if you'll just ask for it.
Bless
Mueller, out of his whole ministry, he never went door to door. He never asked for money from nobody.
No.
When he had a need, he went to the Lord. He spent time on his knees and he asked God. And God met him in the middle of where he
Amen.
Was at. God always supplies. When he's called you to
Amen.
Do something,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be there.
Yeah.
God called you to have cows. It's his job to feed them. Amen? It's his job to feed them. I mean, do what you can. You've got to cut the wheat when you got it. That woman had to offer her flour.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She had to do that her flour would not run out.
Right.
Sometimes you've got to do what seems crazy.
Yeah.
God never asked you to do simple stuff.
Nope.
He never asked you to do sane stuff. He always asks you to do the crazy thing.
Amen.
You know?
Because
our God, I hate that this might sound sacrilegious, but our God is a crazy God. Amen? He's able to do the impossible. When things look impossible that you cannot do it, no way on earth you can do this, then ask God. And he says, you're right. There is no way on earth you can do that. But God. But God. He knows it. And
if you were prayed...
Yeah.
Simple prayer. These big long begging prayers.
Simple prayers.
And we got to be simple like a child.
Amen.
And believe it.
And then watch God do what God's going to do.
Amen.
Right. And knowing that it's good enough. So what? That bread had a little dirt on it because the cart wrecked outside. The milk got a little shipped off. You know? That's okay. I had to drink it out of a broken jar. It's okay.
Amen.
You know, siphon it through your teeth. You'll be all right. It's okay. And so, but God takes care of those things. And that faith, it works patience. It teaches you how to trust God and to work forward. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, meaning complete, and wanting nothing. You look at America today, how much we want. We want this, we want the other. I need this, I want that. Instead of being satisfied with what we have.
Right.
Why is it we need bigger barns, right? Why do we got to have, let's buy another farm. Let's do something bigger. Let's do this. Now, if you're not going to use it for the glory of God, then why do
right.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Allow God to do his perfect work. If any of you, then you'll be wanting nothing. Let him test your faith. And when you find out that he is faithful and what he has called you to do, you will not be wanting, needing anything.
That's right.
You know, it's when the children of Israel needed food, the weirdest thing came out of heaven. In fact, the name of it is, what is it?
Yeah.
We know it is manna. All right? So they went outside in the morning. It was frosty all over the ground, frosty in the desert. And so they walked out there and they said, man, what is it?
Yeah.
And they said, what is it? Manna, what is it?
Yeah.
And so they went and they got some. Moses told them to get enough for the day and don't get any more than what you need, except on the Sabbath day. Then pick up, or the day before the Sabbath, mm-hmm. they pick up for 2 days. But anyhow, they pick it up, and it was sweet to the taste. It tastes like honey and coriander.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't been able to taste that in my life. But whatever it was exactly what humans needed. Because
right.
you would have enough for that day, and it would keep you healthy all through the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't say that anybody had indigestion. I ate too much manna, you know. But they ended up complaining about it anyhow, instead of just being satisfied.
Human nature,
you know.
Yeah.
I want the things that I left behind. And unfortunately, that's what most of America has done. I want something more than what God has supplied for me. And, well, one thing's for sure. If you need to get a little bit of wisdom, all you really got to do is ask. Ask, and then, now don't just ask. You need to seek it out also. And be looking for an answer. Now it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abrideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Now look at what he's saying right here. If any man lacks wisdom. Now, what is wisdom?
Knowing how to apply the right principles.
Yeah, well, that's the scientific thing. But what does the Bible say? What is wisdom? The
fear of
God is the beginning of wisdom. Right? So if you don't understand that, if you don't understand what it means to fear God, if you don't understand what God's way of looking at things
right.
is.
Right.
Because if we look at the world right now, we look at the political scene, we look at the medical scene, we look at a lot of stuff and say, God, I do not understand this. I don't understand this virus. I don't understand the mask thing. I don't understand the vaccines. I don't understand what the government's doing. I just don't understand this. God, I'm looking for your perspective.
Amen.
I want your wisdom into this. What's really going on?
Right.
And guess what? He'll lead you to Scripture.
Bless.
And Scripture will tell you what you need to know at the time.
Amen.
You know, and not only will He give it to you, He'll give it to you in abundance.
Yes. Amen.
You know, He will reach you where you're at, and He will overflow you with that wisdom. Let every man ask of God. Now, like that, who are you supposed to ask? National Enquirer? Fauci? No, who are you going to? Your professor, right? The one who told you to shave your head and paint your fingernails purple. All you got it. The one who told you, you know, Will Rogers. Ask old Will Rogers. He'll tell you. Well, back in those, you're probably right, you know. But he said, ask of God. So you got to bring these things before the Lord.
Amen.
Because you can ask me and you're going to get an opinion, right? Mm-hmm. Guess what? My opinion probably ain't correct. You know, and that's just the truth. Because I think of it in my finite mind. I need an infinite answer from an
Amen.
Infinite God. I need somebody who knows everything about all things.
Yeah.
And so when I really need to know something, I need to bring it before the Lord.
Right.
Sometimes, you won't get that answer immediately. Sometimes you will, but most times not. But if you spend time, you continually ask, you continually
yeah.
knock, you continually seek, that door is going to be open to you. If you continually be like that widow that was done wrong before the unjust
judge.
Amen. Kept coming. And so here comes the judge. Here comes the widow. Here comes the widow. And so she came and she pushed that poor fella at like a dripping faucet. Man, she was just there all the time. Help me, fix me, fix me, fix me, help me, help me, help me. Finally, he did something. And Jesus used that to keep us in prayer.
Yeah.
That example. I don't think that God thinks of us as a leaky faucet or nothing like that. But He wants us to keep asking.
Yeah.
Because I know I've asked for something and it not happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't understand why it didn't happen. I ask it as in God's will. I pray for my son's salvation every day.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And I haven't seen it happen yet. And I might not. I might not live to see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
He may come to the Lord well after I'm gone.
Right.
You know, but I know one thing, that I have prayed in the will of God.
Amen.
Now I ask God, why not? Right? I'm asking for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that the Lord continually shows me over and over and over again, this is called, might be a shock to you, I abandoned my children. All right? And there's no other way to say it. I was not a good father when I had kids. I wasn't attentive. I was more into the world. I was more into alcohol and other things, and instead of being the man, the father that my children needed, I attended to myself.
Yeah.
They grew up without me.
You probably didn't know any better.
I didn't know any better.
You didn't know any better. You probably had the same thing with your father.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's why we can't blame people to understand them.
Yeah. And so I'm not passing the buck.
No.
You know
we
what I'm saying is
because
it was me, right? And because I did that, now my relationship to tell him the truth is shallow.
Right.
He can't grab a hold of it.
Right.
But I know that there's somebody out there in this world that has beautiful feet just for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they will someday bring the good news to him in a way that them,
right.
It's not him,
that's
it's them, that they can understand it. I'm not going to be the one that delivers that to them.
No.
Because I've messed things up in their young life. So be careful how you tread today, because you don't know what that's going to affect later
Amen.
On. You know, in life. God's good. Alright? And that's one of those trials, that's a scar, a thing I'll have to live in my life for as long as I live. You know, and it's just part of it. There ain't nothing I can do about it now.
No.
Pray, move forward.
Right.
Trust God, move forward. Lay Him at the foot of the cross, move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're lacking wisdom, so my thing was, God, I'm praying for them, they're not getting saved. I need wisdom. God told me, keep praying for them, but don't expect that you're going to do it. And this is why.
Exactly.
And so this is why, because when they needed you the most, you were somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so is hard as that was to hear and to know from the Lord, that's a fact.
Yes.
And so God's not going to tell you something that just makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to tell you the truth. And what you do with that truth is going to really reveal what you believe about
Amen.
God.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that bridge for me, I probably will never be able to do that for my children. Okay. But I trust God. Right? I trust God with
Amen.
That. So if you're lacking wisdom, something's coming, you're praying for it, you don't understand why it ain't happening, ask God. And then when He tells you why it ain't happening, don't be ashamed of it. Alright?
Right. Right.
Face up to it. Alright, God, you're right. I blew it. Amen. There's no other way, no two words about it. I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But God.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that for you. I'm saying that because that's what I got to run in my heart a lot.
Yeah.
All right? And if so you ask God, and then He gives to all men liberally. See, when the Lord exposed my sin before me, He didn't just tell me in sweet, subtle tones. He told me straight out. It was liberal. It was straight out. This is what you did. This is why it isn't working. All right? And then and He abrided not. And that word abrided is without, and so without reproach, and He gives it liberally without reproach. In other words, He gives it undiluted.
Amen.
He gives you the truth, full force, 150 proof. You know, and it's all you can stand.
Boy.
You know, and it shall be given unto him. So you come, you ask, and you expect it. But let him ask in faith and not wavering.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we ask something of the Lord, we can't be wishy-washy about it.
No.
When you come before the King of all kings in prayer time and in reading and in study, have a focus. And be steadfast. I mean, be honest with God. Because
yeah.
He already knows the ins and outs of you, right? But He doesn't want you to come there wishy-washy, beating around the bush. Well, Lord, I'm going to blame it on my ancestors because I was born on this side of the tracks and everybody who was any good was on that side of the tracks and wham, wham, poor, poor, pitiful me. God doesn't care about that. He knew where you were going to be born before you were born. He loved you in the middle of that no matter what, right?
Amen.
And so He does. You don't worry about those things. Don't be wavering. Don't be wishy-washy in your prayers. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. So if we get all, well, right now there's a lot of folks following prophets.
Yeah.
Unprofitable prophets.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are being driven by the wind.
Yeah.
In fact, I think tomorrow, by those false prophets, and they say that somehow Trump is going to become president tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Well, we'll know by the next day for sure. And so, but all those prophets have said Trump was going to be president. He's going to be. Don't worry, just don't worry. It's all God's going to work it out. Well, God did work it out, just not the way those false prophets said. So.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are not seeking the Lord, they're being pushed around, taught by all that. You look at the folks that were just absolutely brokenhearted over that.
Yes.
Brokenhearted.
Yes.
Wow. Come on, Christian. Is this our kingdom? Are we to be openly concerned about what happens? It doesn't matter who is president of America. I serve a risen Savior. James, I am a servant of the Most High God.
Amen.
Peter, I'm a servant of the Most High God. Paul, I'm a servant of the Most High God. Who are you a servant of? Pelosi? Amen. The Most High God. You're right. Yeah, don't worry about what this world, it does not matter. Who the president is. They really don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Constitution, as much as I love the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, praise God, mm-hmm. I love it, and I'll defend it as best I can. But when it's not the Bible, it's not God's Word.
Right.
It's just not.
Right.
And if I have to pull on to one area that I'm going to hold on to, I'm going to hold on to the Word of God. Because the Constitution is going to come and go. And it isn't going to change. You know, that fact isn't going to change. It's just going to be what it is. And that's okay. It's well with my soul.
Amen.
It does not matter. Because I serve God. And so having that mindset, thinking about it, I'm not going to waver in God's Word. I'm not going to move away from what God says. I'm not going to be overly concerned about who the Supreme Court justice is. Because
yeah.
far as I know, this court in America ain't the Supreme one.
Right.
There's a court coming that all those folks in black robes, their knees are going to bow and their tongues are going to confess
right.
the Lord Jesus
right.
Christ.
Right.
All of them will. When they see a real court, when they see Jesus high and lifted out, you'll know what justice is all about.
Amen.
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 And either you're in Him or you're without Him. But we need to ask by faith. We need to ask
mm-hmm.
Him by faith. We don't need to be wavering, being
no.
pushed around. He says, He gives the example that for he, the man or the person that wavereth, is like a seed driven by the wind. Boy, you get those like I was talking about, the false prophets. They get up there and they start blowing hot air. And they're pushing you over this way, then they're pushing you over that way. And follow me, follow them, go this way, go that way. Stop it.
Right.
It's time to find the place to anchor. It's time to find that solid rock. Amen?
Yeah.
And get grounded into Jesus Christ. Because when you know who you are in the Lord, it does not matter who is the ruler of this world. Because as far as I can read, we went into 2 Peter, what I read there is that this world is going to burn with a fervent heat. The elements thereof are going to melt down.
Yeah.
I'm promised that there's a new heaven and a new earth that's coming. I'm promising that there's going to be an earth that doesn't have a sea.
Amen.
All right? Nobody's going to be blown around by a sea. That analogy won't work. Because no one's going to know what a sea is anymore. Right?
Yeah.
The mountains aren't going to be here. The governments are going to be changed.
Right. Right.
It's going to be one government that works. Amen?
Amen.
When the government of God comes to earth Bless. To reign forever and ever. Amen. You don't have to worry about who's president or any of that garbage, because we're going to be serving the one true, most high God.
Right.
And
the battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
Psalm 64,
yes.
I will shoot an arrow. And isn't he doing it?
Yes, he is.
Watch him fall.
Yeah.
Foremost first, now he's watching him fall. I love it.
Oh. There it is. God, well, you know, be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Amen.
Whatever a man sows,
Amen.
That he shall also reap. And so you look at that. That's the truth. That's now, do you really believe that? All right? Now, you may not see it. There's a lot of folks that passed away underneath the Cuomo's authority. All right? A lot of folks died. But do you know that God's going to have the last word in his life? It's going to be the last word, the last judgment. It's going to be on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if he kissed and squeezed and groped a bunch of girls. I mean, I feel bad for the ladies that happened to, but he's going to answer to God.
Right.
Nothing may ever happen to him here on this planet for the perversion that he is.
Yeah.
But when he stands before God,
right.
all of those things are going to be took care of. Amen?
Yeah.
So that's where we anchor into. That's where my faith is that he will stand, I will stand. And I'm not going to be judged by what Cuomo does, and Cuomo ain't going to be judged what I did.
Mm-hmm.
We will stand each individually before the Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And you're either going to be found in Him or outside of Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a real short trial.
Yeah.
You know, either you're under the blood or you ain't. And either you're saved or you're going to hell.
Yeah.
It's plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And so, while we're on this earth, we need to be asking by faith, and not being pushed around by every wind of doctrine that comes
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
And verse 7 says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord." Now, that's an interesting verse that he put there. God doesn't owe you anything.
No.
Do you know that?
Absolutely.
So you can ask and ask and ask. God, give me what's that old Genesis shout? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? dialing for dollars is trying to find me. Isn't that what that was? And so anyhow, oh, now it's in my mind. I worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? And so don't expect God to give you things like that. You know what? He can give you more of grace to have what you have. He's able to give you all-sufficient power. He's able to give you an indwelling spirit that will never leave you. Now, the things of this world, and I know folks that don't have two dimes to rub together in their pocket, but they are more wealthy than what's Bill Gates.
Yeah.
They got more than Bill Gates got.
Yeah.
You know, and they may not have the wealth of this world, but they have the love of the Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
They might be living in grass huts, but they long to hear from Jesus.
Amen.
They pray, they fast, they seek the Lord, and guess what? God cares for them.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he doesn't care for Bill Gates. Out loud. let not a man think that you shall receive anything from the Lord, because God doesn't owe you anything. God's no respecter of persons.
Right.
He gave you everything when Christ died on the cross. He gave you a full abundance of life. He gave you a way that passes all understanding. He gave you that peace, again, that passes all understanding. He fulfilled every promise in the Word of God for you.
Amen.
He called you. He adopted you. He implanted you. He grafted you in the vine. Think of all the things He did for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the stuff that you think He owes you, God don't owe you nothing.
Nothing.
Jesus paid it all.
Right.
Amen. Now, because of His great love and His mercy, He will give us things. He will grant us. Praise God. It looks like everybody's wearing clothes tonight. Praise God, right? So He gave you the clothes on your back. Everybody eat, you know, this week. Well, praise God. He gave you all the food that you have. You get a drink of water. Amen. God gave you that. How about everybody take a breath real quick? There you go. There you go. He just gave you the breath in your lungs. You know, but He doesn't owe you that.
No, He does not.
And so, don't think that you're going to receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. See, if I see so many folks falling out of faith because they expect God to do something that He never promised He was
Amen.
Going to do.
Amen.
You know, well, I prayed for 15 years for this new thing or for the healing or whatever, and it never came. Paul, as great a man as he was, with the thorn in his side, whatever that is, he prayed three times, Lord, take this away from me. And each time said, no, my grace is sufficient.
Right.
Don't worry about the thorn in your side. I mean, that's not the big deal. My grace is big enough. I can overcome. I'll let that thing callous over. I'll work that thorn in your life as a glory to my name.
Amen.
All right? And I don't know about y'all, but I got some things that just stick in me. You know? The things from my past, and I don't know, for some reason of this last month or so, that's just really been, you might well even call it a demonic attack, these things from my yesteryear, just coming up and pounding me hard, regrets.
Right.
But see, if God forgot it, God paid for it, God died for it,
Amen.
So why am I sweating it? You know, why am I worried about something God's already forgiven me for? Why am I beating myself up over it?
That's right. Well, when you get through,
you're
going to be a better person.
Amen. Yeah.
Romans 8:28. I live by
that. There you go. Amen. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called for His purpose.
Amen.
Right? And so it's going to work out. But to understand that God allows the tempter to whisper in my ear to bring those things back to memory.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not to encourage me not to dwell on it. Not to carry it. Again, it's not my burden to carry it. That's
right.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
I was going to say, the accuser loves to accuse us all day long, but when Christ is faithful to us, our sin is cast as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, He's faithful. The question is, are we?
Right.
You know? No. I got to say no. I'm not. As it says, a double-minded man. See, you can't keep You can't go forward with God and hold on to the same garbage of yesterday. You got, Paul said, not as if I have made it, or it's in Philippians here, not as if I have achieved, but one thing I do is I press, I forget those things
press
which are behind.
And I go, Mark, the goal.
The goal, press for the high call of Christ.
In
right.
Christ Jesus.
Amen. And so you forget those things which are behind. You know, because often, I mean, you can't change nothing back there. So forget it. You can't go forward and dwell on what your mistakes were yesterday, right? And so double-minded, and that's what makes so many Christians unstable in all their ways. Because they try to move forward, but they won't let go. See, you can't hold on to the heaven and hold on to the earth at the same time. It'll pull you apart every time. So let go of one or the other. You know, I say let go of the cares of the world. You know, let go of these things that are so easily ensnaring you. Let go of your burdens, your past, your failures. Let go of that stuff.
Yes.
And then move forward with God.
Amen.
Make up your, choose you today who you're going to serve.
Right.
Don't be double-minded in the things that you do. Let the brother of low degree rejoice that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. All right. That gives you a couple things. One thing is, don't worry about the riches. Don't worry about things. Jesus said you can't serve both God and mammon, because you'll love one and you'll hate the other. All right? So don't worry about, and as he describes it again, Jesus described it this way, and he said, as a flower, even the Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these, the lilies of the field, which are on the ground today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace and forgotten about. And God's love for you is greater than that.
Amen.
God's love for you is greater than that.
Amen.
And so, and he uses this example here that no sooner than you got this beautiful flower. How many ever, I don't know what's wrong with those flowers, but they haven't died. Most flowers that you get from a flower store, don't they look fake? That's a real flower. We ain't watered it in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, still, just it's going. Pardon?
Pretty soon, 7 more days, it'll be a month.
Yeah, 7 more days, it'll be a month. Now, anyhow, but most flowers die pretty quick. Most flowers die pretty quick, right? You buy flowers for your wife or your sweetheart or for yourself or whatever. You put them on the table for a day. Pretty soon the tulips are falling apart, and you know the roses are turning into thorns. And so, anyhow, all those things, they come and they go.
Yeah, they do.
They come and they go. I was thinking about those. I was hoping to look over there and see some dead to it, but it's not. So I couldn't use that as an example. What kind of flower is that? What's that called? A puffball or something?
It's a hydrangea.
A hydrangea?
Snowballs. We used to call them snowballs.
Snowballs, right? Yeah. That's, I remember.
The horticultural.
Yeah. Horticultural. Anyway. But they last a good long time. If you want a flower to stay on your table for a long time, that's the one I'd get. A month now still looks as fresh as a daisy. The leaves would have fell off by now if it was a daisy. So anyhow. Let me get back to this. And so, he says, as the grass withers the grass and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes, so shall the rich man fade away in his ways.
Yep.
Your riches will not last forever.
No.
You know, we've said a lot, you don't see a U-Haul following a hearse.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you fought and struggled and tried to gain in this world, trying to become rich, when you die, you leave every dime. You came into this world naked, and naked you're going out.
Amen.
You might be buried in a mohair suit, but you're naked before God. Amen.
Right.
And so on. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, so he says in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. that lure to be better than what you think you ought to be. That lure to make that extra dollar. That lure to achieve, to climb the highest heights. Man, here's a great analogy. So there's ladders laid on the building. The building is the successful life, and you're climbing the ladder of success, right? All right, so you work and you struggle and you step on people and you get richer and famouser and you're kicking folks off your ladder and you finally get to the top of your ladder at the end of your life and find out you're leaned against the wrong wall.
Right.
Yeah, you made it. You made it to the top, but you lost everything on the journey.
Right.
I would rather be on a step stool and leaning on the right wall than the tallest fireman's ladder that they can come up with on the wrong one. Know who you're leaning on. Look at what you're building on. Don't lean on the things of this world, the riches of this world, the foolishness of this world. He said, blessed is the man when you endure that temptation. You don't have to get better. Be happy with what you got. With this, be satisfied.
When you get there,
it's not. Amen. You know? I thought it'd be different when I got here. Well, I really did. I came here in the springtime. I thought it'd be different. 20 years ago, I ain't going nowhere. 21, isn't it? Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I came up here with spring. Oh, it was beautiful, comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Got here in October, it started snowing, and it hasn't stopped.
Yep.
But God's good. Yeah, I know you do. It's not bad. And so, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Praise God. When you resist temptation, you're being tried.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really believe the God of creation, the God of the Word, the Word of God? Do we believe that above everything that we're tempted? The pride of life, the lust of life, all those things, the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Do we trust God more than those things?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I believe if you do, you're going to receive something from the Lord. You'll receive peace on this earth. You'll receive the fruit of the Spirit of God. You'll receive long-suffering and goodness and faithfulness and patience, and all those things. God will give that to you abundantly.
Amen.
As you walk with Him, as He tests you, as He tries you, and you walk faithful. And then when you leave this life, guess what? You've walked with Him your whole life. You've trusted Him with all of your life. And He gives you the crown of salvation. Amen. What a great, or the crown of life. Amen. Which God has promised to those that love Him. Now ask yourself this. Do I really love God more than these? When Jesus was about to ascend to the Father, and He met Peter and John and them on the shore, that last day He made breakfast. You know, did you know Jesus liked to make breakfast? He did. And so they met Him there, and He talked to Peter. He says, do you love me more than these? And
yeah.
He says, yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. They went on, talked a little bit longer. Hey, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, God, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Let me ask you, do you love Him? I mean, do you really love Him? Then there's something for us to do. It's more than just coming to church on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I mean, praise God that you're here. But if you love Him, there's people to feed. And maybe not physical food. I mean, it might be physical food, but there's things that are of greater need than an extra pork chop. You know, there are things that are of greater need for a man's salvation than just the food that he might eat. Are we feeding the sheep of God? Are we feeding the men that if we love Him, that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So He says, if you love me, feed them. And so every man when he's... Did I flip my page? No, I'm on the right spot. We have tossed by the seas. I will receive the ground. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man.
Amen.
But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now catch that. God doesn't bring you to do things wrong. And the devil didn't make you do it. We give way too much credit to the devil.
Yes.
Right? He says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of what? His own lust.
Yeah.
Is when you want your way above God's way. And you get drawn away into that. You might think it's a great thing to do. It feels comfortable. It feels good. Mm. But I tell you, it's not worth it. You're enticed. You're drawn away from God.
Mm-hmm.
And when the lust is conceived, it brings forth sin.
Yes.
And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death.
Right.
All right. So be careful who you trust, how you trust,
amen,
what you trust in.
Amen.
God says if you follow the lust that you're being drawn into, it's going to bring forth sin.
Yes.
Now, being tempted is not a sin, but when you give into that temptation and start walking away from the righteousness of God,
right,
giving into your will and not His will, that's sin.
That's
and
right.
If you give into that long enough, your heart will become callous.
Mm-hmm.
So callous that the Holy Spirit can't get in there and talk to you,
amen,
about anything.
Amen.
And then when that happens, it brings forth death. Now, a physical death, no doubt, but a spiritual death, which is much worse than a physical death.
Amen.
Jesus said, don't fear the man that's able to just kill the body,
mm-hmm,
but fear him who's able to kill the body and cast your soul into hell.
Right.
Fear God.
Amen.
Trust Him. I mean, trust Him with your fullness. Do not err, brother, beloved brother. And we're going to stop right there. All right, reason why it's already after 8, I just happened to look up and see that, and I know it's a midweek, and I love you guys. Well, I got to go a little bit further. Y'all don't mind, do you? Do not err, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. For His own will begot He us, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. All right, look at what he's talking about there. Don't be drawn away by the things of this world. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God.
Amen.
And what is the best gift you ever received?
My salvation.
Your salvation. Where'd that come from? It came from God. God called you. Every good, He comes down from the Father of lights. And who's no turning. That's what that, no variableness.
Right.
There's no turning with God. He doesn't go to the right. He doesn't go to the left. He's dead straight all the time. There's no shadow, no shadow of turning with Him. For of His own will begot He us with the word of truth. The way that you received that very greatest gift was by the word of God.
Yes.
You know, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things that were made by Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made.
Amen.
And then He talked about John.
Yeah.
There one came John, and then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the Most High,
yes,
God. That Word of truth God gave you. He gave it to you. What a more precious gift is that?
Yes.
You're holding the most precious gift in your hands, and the fruit of that most precious gift is in your heart. When you've been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Bless
what God. What a great, great God we have. Now, James, he's talking about this. Remember, he ate at the same table as Jesus all of his life. They sopped with the same, what's that bread that they have? Matzah bread? No, it's a matzah ball. There's a bread that they use, a flat bread.
It's a
matzah. It's a matzah. I thought that was Italian, but it's Jewish. And so, matzah, and sopping up those lentils, you know. They ate out of the same bowls. They
mm-hmm,
had the same stuff. And now you're saying the best thing I ever received was not Jesus my brother, but Jesus my Savior.
Amen.
That's the greatest gift.
Amen.
And so, anyhow, folks, I love you. Next week we'll talk about hearing or doing the Word. Because it's easy to sit here and hear it.
Yeah.
What you're doing tomorrow. What
right.
You're going to do with what you heard today.
Right.
And so, folks, I love you. God bless you. I pray for you, and I'm going to let you go. Dear Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your half-brother James. Father, as your servant, and you laid on his heart, it says that the word of God came to holy men who are moved
Amen.
By the Spirit. James was a man set apart for you. Lord, he was your servant. I thank you for the time he took to pen your words on paper that we could have them.
Yes, thank you.
Father, as we go through that word, I pray that you would help us adjust our lives to what he says is
yes.
most important from you.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, help us to reflect your glory on this earth. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
I didn't tell you.
Tell me something.